Hey everyone, welcome to this week's sermon podcast of B Church. Here, you can listen to our latest weekly sermons for your spiritual growth. We believe that this message will really bless you.
Everybody, just have a look to the guy next to you. Is this a little bit loud? Just look to the guy next to you, left or right, it doesn't matter. I need you to say something to him because we're going to start on a foundation this morning, and that is, say to the guy next to you, your purpose, your vision, your dream was God's before it was yours. Amen? Let's say that. It was God's before it was yours. Amen? So what we're going to talk about this morning is I'm going to make your vision, your purpose, your dream, all those things equal your ministry. Can we say amen? Everybody agree? So everything that surrounds you is going to be called your ministry this morning. So it should be like that. Your family, your work situation, the people that work for you, everybody actually should be your ministry. That is your ministry. That is who you are. You want to be identified to your ministry. So we're going to do that. We're going to start with this. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." So to start with that, I want to say that before you were born, maybe before your mom and dad and your great-grand and all them were born, God designed a seed, and that was you. That seed had a DNA. You had a purpose. You had a ministry. So that is who you are. Before you were born, there was already that connection between you and God. He had a hope for you. He had something that said, this is Hende, this is Dande, this is whoever you are. You are unique. So let's start with that. You are unique. You're not like anybody else. Amen? God knows each person by name. So that Jeremiah says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. This morning we're going to speak about your ministry, who you are, what makes you tick, what makes you who you are. And then I want to just leave it there, and I want to go and ask a question that Paul asks in Romans. It's Romans 3:3-4. It says, "For what if some do not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of the Lord without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, and let every man be a liar, as it is written." Okay, so what we're talking about now is what other people's opinions matter in your dream or your vision or your ministry. If God has made you a promise for something, put a dream in your heart, or given you a word or a promise in Scripture, confirmed by His people, when God has birthed something in your heart and you know that God has spoken this to you. There's a reason why I'm doing this message, church, is so many people start something and then falls and it crashes because they get to a point where they say, maybe God didn't say this. Maybe this wasn't what God meant for me. Okay? And he asks the question, so what if some don't believe? If you have a dream, what if some don't believe in your dream? What if some don't believe God gave you the word? Maybe some don't believe that God's power can make that word come to fruition in your life. The scripture is asking if people's opinion can influence your promise. Can somebody else's opinion influence my promise God gave me? What do you say? You see, we're not sure. We're not sure. Because why? Because we have a promise and we have a thing and sometimes it doesn't work and we're like, maybe I didn't hear God. So if they say that won't happen, if they say you don't have the talent to have that ministry or that dream, maybe we're allowing the affirmation of other people to dictate who we are. That's not nice. Why do we do what we do? Who are we? What makes us who we are? You see, there's a time, church, where God gives you a standalone faith. Standalone faith. I can give you an example, but I'll leave that for later. It's when you know God said something in your life and everybody else is against you and everybody else is giving you all the reasons why your promise won't work. God says, I give you standalone faith. Amen. This should encourage you, church. That means that nobody's opinions matter. It's only your and God's opinion. And if God said it, that settles it. It's rough to talk to men, man. Yes, you guys are. Come, guys, get involved. So then what if you don't believe, what if they don't believe? It doesn't matter, church. It doesn't matter because God says, can they cancel out what God has promised you? No, they cannot. Paul says that nothing and nobody can cancel what I have released over you except you. I'll get there just now. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why God's promise might not work in your life. Just give me a second. I'll get there just now. I just want to say there will always be opposition to your dream. To your ministry, there will always be somebody that knows how to do it better. But he hasn't got his own, but he knows how to do it better. He will always come and tell you how to run your ministry, run your family, your business. I know how to do it better than you. But you know you have standalone faith. It doesn't matter what other people say. So we're talking about dreams this morning. Men are dreamers. Who knows that? Men are dreamers. They just keep it to themselves. We got dreams, man. I've got boxes full of dreams. I got so many dreams. I just wait for the opportunity to make them come true. Amen? God gives you dreams. God's a dreamer. He's also a dreamer. He has a dream for you. That's why he created you. Your DNA has got a purpose attached to it. Who knows that? You are made for a purpose. You are made for a certain ministry. It's yours. So people cannot cancel your dream. People cannot cancel your ministry and your promise that God gave you. I want to give you an example. Joseph told his brothers about his dream. What did they do to him? They threw him in a cistern. They threw him in there. They said, well, no, man, that dream, we will not bow down to you. It was a dream God gave him. Many years later, they bowed down to him. But they didn't like it. They came against his dream. But Joseph had standalone faith. What about Paul? Paul was thrown in prison. What did he do there? He started singing in prison. He started sharing testimonies. He started speaking about Jesus. His standalone faith took him out of prison. So it doesn't matter what people throw with you, do with you. Your standalone faith and the knowing that God gave you a dream means that you don't have to worry about other people's opinions. We're going to just touch on three things. It's not a recipe or formula. I just want to give three things that will just help you decide or to know that it's a God-given dream and not just something that you think about. The first one is identify or determine whose dream it is. We have to always ask the question is, where did this come from? Is it because I was walking down the road and I saw Andre's big car shop there and I thought, man, this I also want one. Is it? Is it riding past the church and saying, hey, it would have been nice to be a pastor. I also want a church. Do you know what they have been through to get to where they are? Oftentimes, we don't want to do that part. We just want what the other people have. We don't want to do what they did to get there. But I want to just say, it might not be your ministry. It might be God's plan with you to do something else. Is it God's dream or just a fleshly dream? God is not obligated to back up flesh. He's obligated to back up his word. He will do that. There's nothing that can stop that. But he will not back up flesh. Somebody else's whim is not God's. He's not what God's all about. He's about his word will not return to him void. So if he said it, it'll do it. It'll happen. Amen? So we must understand if we just got fleshly dreams and they don't come through, it's not his fault. Then you don't. There's so many people, the church hurt me, I'm out of here. This is not going to work for me. The church never hurt anybody. Never. People in the church maybe, but not the church. We've got to distinguish about why we say who hurts us. Is it strong? Must be strong. It's supposed to be all men. Sorry for the ladies. But we must start speaking right. God doesn't hurt people. The church doesn't hurt people. The people in the church maybe. Can we agree on that? God never... His word never returns to him void. If he says something, he'll do it. He doesn't make promises and not keep it just to hurt you. Is it God's dream? You know, is it your parents that are dictating who you are? What am I saying? Am I living a life that my parents wanted me to be? Sometimes we live a life because our folks say, you need to do this. You're not going to just sit at home. You're going to have to go and study. You have to study this. And when you finish, you have to go and work there. How many people can relate? Your parents lived a life through you that they didn't live. I did it to Samantha. When she's finished studying, I said, you're going to go study to be a pilot now, and then you're going to go. I even lined up the people where she's going to go and work. How's that for a good dad? But she said, no, she didn't want that. I wanted her to be a game ranger and a pilot, take people flying every day. It's because that's what I wanted. It's not what she wanted. So we live our lives through our children. And then they end up doing not what they wanted to do, but what I wanted to do. That DNA is all crooked now. Amen? Are we living somebody else's life? Do we look around for a dream? Somebody said to me the other day, they want to be like someone in our church. And I said, no. You haven't been through what they've been through. How can you be like them? Are you sure you want all the trials and tribulations that guy's been through so that you can have what you see here? That's not biblical. God's given you your own dream, your own identity. Don't struggle with identity. Let me tell you what happens. When you compare yourself to someone else, you are insulting your creator. Try that one. If you can do better than someone, than God, then you are insulting him. If I want to be like Henry, I'm insulting God because he made me. It means that I'm saying that I'm not made perfectly. I want to be like someone else. I'm not going to do that. I'll rather just say, Lord, show me who you want me to be, as opposed to being somebody that I'm not. Is your dream determined by expectations of others? How many times haven't you heard somebody say, yes, I expected much more from you. I expected so much more from you. You know what damage that does when you say that to someone? Because what you're saying is, I'm not proud of you. I'm disappointed in you. You could have been so much more. Were you overlooked, insecure, inferior, neglected? Do you know what happens when somebody treats you like it? It could be, you know, our parents make mistakes. People are characterized or constructed by how they grew up. Who knows that to be true? Because then you'll hear somebody say, you're just like your dad. Or you're just like your teacher that you had. Or you're just like that guardian where you grew up. And that's really not what I want to be, is it? And I want to talk about that just for a second. You know, we need to stop using the excuse that how we grew up to explain who we are now. We went to a prison to visit a guy that had abused a girl. And he said, when he was young, they used to give him drugs and abuse him. Now he's doing it to girls. It's not good enough. Because God gave us free will. He said, there's a time in your life where you can think for yourself. So I decided to take the drugs, and then I decided to abuse the girl. Or I decided to drink, and I decided to drive. So it's not an excuse that you live your life according to how you were brought up. We love our parents. I love my parents very much. But there's stuff that they did that I said at a point in my life, I'm not going to do that because I see how that hurt people. I see how that influenced me in my life growing up, not knowing any better. So you get to a point where you say, I'm done with that. I will take what I learned that was good, but I'm going to add what I hear and what I want to do and what God is letting loose in my life to add to what I learned from them. It's not good enough to use that as an excuse anymore. Amen. It's getting quiet. Church, it's just important to know that, you know, we can do better. We can do more. We can be closer to the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Vilmar was pushing the worship. Why does he do that? He does it often now, and I love it. He pushes the worship because we connect. The Holy Spirit comes and he just moves amongst us when it's like that. When it's all quiet and your heart's open to hear, this is what happens. He speaks to you. And he tells you of the things that you're doing that he loves. He tells you of the things that you're doing that you can just maybe do without. He speaks. We connect. Amen? Okay, so point number one, we want to know where the dream comes from. Point number two is we need to know what the source is and what the resource is. Okay? Source and resource. Sound like Pastor Eckhart. Okay. What is the source? The source is the Spirit. Let's just quickly look at that. The source is the Spirit. The resource, not. Okay, so the source is where you get your inspiration. The source is where you get the DNA seed. That which God created you before you were formed, that DNA God created, He knew you. That's the source. What does God say? He says, the dream, the vision, the purpose, the ministry is from me, from Him. That is the source. I just want to quickly clarify that. The next one is the ability. The ability is God gives you the ability to follow the dream or the mission or the ministry. He won't give you something and then you can't do it. The only problem is sometimes we get a dream or a mission or a vision and we say, but I'm not able to do that. I don't understand. This is not what I can do. God gives you that ability maybe in seed form, and there's a reason. Because that seed is the same size as the seed of the ministry so that they can grow together. Because sometimes the character needs to grow with the ability. So never be scared if you don't have the ability to do what God wants you to do. He will give you that ability. God gives you a dream. He gives you the ability to fulfill that dream. Then number C is my favorite, resources. This is where people get annoyed. Say to your neighbor, you are a resource. A resource. Again, you are a resource. Do you know that you are here to benefit somebody else? You are blessed to be a blessing. Do you know that? You're not just here to blom. There was a guy that used to say, "Yach, ons blom net." You are here to be a resource. And you are here to be a recipient. To be a resource means that you're already blessed. If you have a blessed life, it means you can be resourceful to someone else. Who wants to be resourceful? I want to have enough to give somebody else. I want to be resourceful. I want people to look at me and say, that is the guy, he's resourceful. He's got all kinds of things going. He does all this. I don't just want to be the recipient, although to be resourceful, I have to be a recipient. We have to also get. God gives and you give. So when you need to be a resource to somebody, that means you are blessed by God. You have enough to supply somebody else, to give somebody else. Now I want to just say something quickly, and that is the difference between the source and the resource. The source is permanent. The resource is temporary. And what happens is people take their eyes off the source and put it on the resource. And then the communication crumbles because a resource is flesh. We are flesh. We give into a thing, we give into a ministry, we give into a business and stuff, but it's temporary. The source is permanent. What is of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the Spirit is permanent. It's Spirit. So when you keep your eyes on the Spirit, your resources will always flow. But when you take your eyes off the source and put it on the resource, the resource stops because it stands alone. Resource is flesh. Flesh decays. Flesh gets old. Flesh changes its mind. So try that. If it doesn't work in a year's time, we'll get you another business. Is that God's word? Is God's word not the same yesterday, today, and forever? So if God says start a business today and doesn't work, He says, don't worry. We'll start something next week. We'll try something else. He doesn't do that. That's a resource, not a source. Discern whether your resource is lining up with your dream. One cannot support the other. A resource is not there to be your provider. God is the provider. The source is the provider. The resource is just something God puts in place for you to manage. That's the mistake Sarah made. We know Sarah in the Bible, Abraham's wife. So they want a baby and that's the source. The source promised, isn't it? The source gave the word. So what did Sarah do? She looked to the resource to fulfill the promise. So she takes Hagar and there they go and there's a baby and that baby was a problem. Because we think we're going to make a plan. We'll help God keep His word. And it didn't work that well until they took their eyes back off the resource and put it back on God. Amen? And then Abraham had his own son. So it's a good example of a resource. Paul Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens Hagar. Is that what he said? So we say all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the promise from God. In Sarah's case, the dream became dependent on what somebody else could give them and not what God could give them. Number three, never let the dream God gives you intimidate you. Is it too big or too small? Don't think that the dream God puts in your heart is unimportant or too small. Who knows who Jochebed is? I don't know the pronunciation. Jochebed. Who knows who that is? I'll tell you a story. It's amazing. I didn't know who that was. I had to go look it up. So Moses' mom, Jochebed, she had a dream. What was her dream? Remember, they lived in a bad time. They lived where Pharaoh was there, and they had foreign gods, and they had all kinds of things. So Jochebed said, I want to raise godly children in an ungodly land. And her dream was to have godly children. She wanted to be a good mom, and Pharaoh was killing all the children, and she couldn't hide Moses away anymore. So what she did, she put him in the basket. This is a story everybody knows. She put him in a basket and put him in the river. But what I never realized about this is, imagine your little baby boy or girl, doesn't matter. You're putting them in a basket and you put them in a river. The Nile River is massive. Do you know there's crocodiles and and you put the baby and then you let them go. And I was thinking about this and I thought, no man, there must have been a plan. There must have been a plan. She had the faith to know that God would intervene and that God would make a plan for her. God is in control. God is in control. And I want to just stop there for a second. Parents with children, that children are a little bit out of line. There's a lot of this. Last week there was again somebody that's been exposed to stuff. And the child is now, I want to tell you, God will sort it out. You stay in line. You stay with that in that place where God is, where you know that God's given you a word. You stay there and you pray over your child and you pray over your family and you stay in line with God's word. That boy or that girl will just go there and find that there's nothing. And he'll come back and he'll find what he needs under your house's care. There where God is active and God is working. Don't get off the track because your children are off the track and you're deciding to go and fetch them. God will sort it out. Amen. Your family is taking hits. You're not managing to do what you want to do. Your finances are... You stay in the place where God promised you. You just say, Lord, you said it, I believe it. I'm not gonna stray. There's two scriptures. Isaiah 54:17. When your family is in dire straits, you declare this scripture, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Come church, let's say it. No weapon formed against me will prosper. If you've got a wife, you put her name in. No weapon formed against Leslie will prosper. No weapon formed against Samantha will prosper. You declare God's promises. You're in line with what God wants so you can call on his promises in your family. And then when you get tired of saying that, you say, Joshua 24:15, but for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. When that son or that daughter is off the track, you declare, for me and my household, you are speaking God's word. That child will come back. He will come back. You declare that in Jesus' name. He will come back. He doesn't have a choice. It's a spiritual thing, and the spirit is permanent. Off the track, Jochebed. So she had such a in the time she had such a small dream. Her dream was just for her kids to be godly. Amen. But let's have a look what happened. So never mind the fact that Pharaoh paid for Moses to grow up. She didn't pay a cent. So the enemy will have to pay all your fees when you're in line with God's word. That's the first thing. What else did Moses do? He brought down the Ten Commandments. Amen. The backbone of what we know today. Moses, the guy that floated down the river. He also led millions of people out of captivity. So it was a tiny little seed. Tiny, tiny little seed. A tiny dream. But look what it ended up to be. millions of people out of captivity. Moses' brother, Aaron, was the high priest in the church. So that's another one, godly children. There was a sister, Miriam. Miriam was the one that started praise and worship, just by the way. When they crossed the Red Sea, she started praising and worshiping and became a thing. So can you see how one small little dream, one small little ministry ends up to be pretty much whatever we know about ministry today? And so in the same fashion, if the dream is so big that it scares you, just understand that because God said it in your life, it will empower you to have the faith to do it. So I want to close. I know we carried on a bit later. So I just want to end off with Jeremiah 32:27. It says, "Behold, I am the Lord." This is the Lord speaking. "The God of the flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" So when you're in dire straits and your family's taking the hits and you don't know where your kids are and you don't know what's going on with your finances, you don't know what's going on with your health, you say, "Is there anything too hard for God?" Done. I hope you guys are going to go cook nice lunches for your wives. There's the wives at the camp for the others. Please come if there's anybody that needs prayer. We haven't done a tithing offering. Guys, grab your seed. Grab your seed. Let's do a message quickly. We know that we are the resources. We know we are a resource. So I want to encourage you and say that knowing that you can and that you will, know that God blesses.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to know more about who we are and what we do, go visit our website at bechurch.co.za. You're formed to function. Let's be church.